Well, good evening, everyone. Merry Christmas to you. Glad to have you here. My name is Jonathan. I am the lead pastor here. And it's Christmas, isn't it? We are here. And after the service tonight, my guess is that a bunch of you are going to go and visit with some friends, family somewhere, and enjoy the evening. And others are going to go home. And you're just going to relax this evening, maybe watch a Christmas movie. Whatever it is, it's just going to be a chance to celebrate the evening. And of course, if you've got little kids, they've been bouncing off the wall all day, and they're going to be so excited. And I'm guessing that somewhere, tonight, tomorrow, somewhere, you're going to be exchanging gifts. And of course, this is one of the great joys of Christmas. It's a lot of fun, but it's also a little tricky, isn't it? Right? You want to get a gift that is good for the people you want to give it to. And you're kind of trying to make sure you get the right gift for them. It's also a little tricky receiving gifts, isn't it? Because you have certain expectations of what the gift's going to be. And if you get the gift and it's not the one that you want, yeah, it's kind of tricky, right? Like you're like, oh, thank you. You shouldn't have. Like, really, you shouldn't have. Because we have all these expectations about what it is that we're getting and giving and receiving at Christmas. And you know, if you get it wrong, that's a problem. And maybe you know this from your own personal experience. I certainly know from my experience. My lesson in this came not actually at Christmas. It came at Valentine's, about 2 or 3 years after we were married. I decided that for Valentine's that year, for my sweet, loving wife, that I would get her a pot. No. And not like a set of nice pots, like a superstore special pot. And I was like, you know, we didn't have lots of money and we needed a pot. So I expected that my wife would be like, wow, what a thoughtful, practical, resourceful husband. She had different expectations. And I just, as far as I can remember, that was the coldest February 14th on record anywhere. But rightly, she had a right expectation. She was expecting a romantic, a wonderful gift for Valentine's Day, and I had the wrong expectations. And having the right expectations is important, isn't it? And not just when it comes to gifts. I mean, in all of life, having the right expectations makes a difference. And we as human beings are creatures that have expectations about everything, don't we? I mean, you have expectations about how this Christmas is going to go. You have expectations about what's going to happen in 2020 in your life. You have expectations about where your career is going to lead, about, you know, who you'll marry if you're not married, or what your marriage is going to be like. You have expectations about the house you're going to live in and what it's going to be like 5 years from. We as humans just have expectations. And those aren't bad. But the tricky thing about expectations is how to get the right expectations, right? Because if you set your expectations too high, then you live a life of disappointment, right? It doesn't matter how good something is, it's never good enough. I mean, take the new Star Wars movie. If you think the new Star Wars movie is going to be like the greatest, most epic, amazing movie ever, and then you go to it and it's only good, you'll be disappointed, even though it's a good movie, right? But there's also a problem if you set your expectations too low. Let me give you an example. I remember once a friend of mine, he invited me to go camping with him and his six-year-old daughter. I had a six-year-old daughter at the time. He said, let's go camping. And I was like, I'd rather get a root canal. I mean, when we grew up camping, where we were, we didn't have the right stuff, you know, for camping. So when we would go camping, I'd sleep all night, every stone in the, you know, I could feel it all, and there's a mosquito always. You know, I spent all night slapping my head. In the morning, and when we got up, we didn't have the right stuff to cook the food. So a couple hours, like, I'm famished. And for breakfast at about 10:30, we had, like, raw pancakes and burnt bacon. And without fail, every time that we went camping, it rained. And so I thought, what kind of masochist would invite me to go camping? Like, this is not a good friend. But he kept inviting. He kept inviting. I was like, okay, I'm going to go. And you know, when I went camping with him, well, he had the right equipment. And he knew the trail. It was a beautiful trail. He took us up to this mountain that looked over this unbelievably gorgeous valley. And his tent practically set itself up. And the food that he cooked tasted good. I'd never had good food like that. And we put our kids to bed, our little girls to bed about 8 o'clock. And then he and I sat out on this ledge overlooking this valley. And we watched the sunset behind the mountains and the stars come up. And we talked. And it was such a rich evening. I mean, I can still see it in my mind's eye today. And I would have missed it all because my expectations were like, that's going to be terrible. So there's a danger if you set your expectations too low. And this applies, you know, to all of life. We have expectations about everything. Christmas. If you think this could be the greatest Christmas ever, you're going to be disappointed. But if you think it's going to be a useless, terrible, dumb Christmas, and you just want to be done, you will miss some of the richness, some of the beauty that you could experience this Christmas. It's the same with a marriage. The same with a career, same with friendships. Having the right expectations is important. The same is actually true also about a religion and faith in God. You know, if you get to talk about religion and faith in God, people have all kinds of different expectations about who God is, whether it's worth doing, all of that stuff. In fact, when it comes to expectations about God and religion, some people have set their expectations way too high. I mean, their expectation is this, that if I put my faith in God, that he will just take care of everything in my life. He'll rain down money when I don't have money. He'll make me well when I'm sick. He'll just take care of every need that I have. And when he doesn't, they're disappointed. They're deeply disappointed in God. On the other hand, sometimes people set their expectations way too low when it comes to God. They had bad experience when they were kids growing up with the church. It was boring. It was terrible. Or maybe they had no experience at all. And they're like, well, I don't know. That doesn't seem like very useful to me. I mean, who would do that kind of thing? People have different expectations. In fact, Jesus had to deal with all kinds of different expectations about who he was. All his life. Started when he was born. You know, in Jesus' day, the people of Israel were expecting God to send the Messiah to come and to save them from the Romans who were ruling their land. And so their expectation is that when Jesus or when the Messiah came, if Jesus was the Messiah, that in fact he would be born in a palace, some prestigious place, and everyone would recognize him as a king. And instead, as you know, he's born in a little stable, laid in a manger. And you know who showed up? A couple of shepherds. That's it. And then later Jesus grew up in a town called Nazareth. Now, Nazareth was like the backwater of Palestine. It was like, you know, nothing good came from there. And in fact, at one point, when Jesus began to teach, one of the guys who was following Jesus went off and he found his friend. And he said, hey, we found who we think is the Messiah. You got to come see him. His name is Jesus. He's from Nazareth. And his friend said, really? From Nazareth? No, nothing good comes from Nazareth. I mean, it's kind of like discovering all of a sudden that the savior of the world has been living in Prince George or 100 Mile House, right? I mean, no offense if you're from there, but it's just not where you would expect the savior of the world to come from, right? So Jesus always dealing with expectations. One day, story is told about how he finally is like confronting the expectations that people had about Jesus, about what he should be all about. The story goes like this. Jesus is teaching, huge crowd on the edge of the lake, and he teaches all day with his brilliant teaching. And if you've never actually read what Jesus said, you should read it. I mean, it was radical in that day. It's still radical and revolutionary in our day. He taught all day, and at the end of the day, his disciples came to him and said, Jesus, you need to send the people home. This is a long ways from any place, and they need food. And Jesus said to them, actually, let's feed them. And they're like, you're crazy. We don't have the food. He said, told everyone, sit down. So what do we got? 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. He's like, okay. He prays. He begins to pass it out, and the entire crowd is fed. It's a miracle. Then he sends them off. He sends them home, and he crosses across the lake. And the next morning, those people wake up, and they can't find Jesus. And so they come looking for him, and they finally track him down. And this is what they say to him. They say, why did you come here to this side of the lake? And what they were really saying is, Why did you leave us? Because we want you in our life. It's kind of flattering. And you know what Jesus said? He said, oh, I know why you're looking for me. You're not looking for me because you want me in your life. You're looking for me because because I fed you bread last night. I fed you supper. And you want me to be in your life so I can do that again, so I can fix whatever the problem is in your life. You want me to be like the fix-it guy in your world. And they talk some more. If you read the story, that they basically is like, well, yeah. And in fact, that's an expectation that a lot of people have from Jesus. They're like, Jesus, if you're God, and I got a problem in my world, I want you to fix it. Like that would be what you would do. And if you don't do that, I'm not sure what use you are in my life. So it's fascinating to see how Jesus answers this. He says to them, in essence, he says, look, your expectations of me, they're not too high, they're much too low. He says to them, if you believe in me, I will give you something better than just bread. I'll do more than just be the fix-it guy in your life. And they said, really? Something better than the fix-it guy in my life? Prove it. In fact, literally, that's what they said. They said, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe that you could do something better? And they said, because you know what? Moses, you remember Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt through the desert all the way to the promised land. And when they were in the desert, they didn't have any food. And they said, Jesus, you know what happened? Bread from heaven every day. You got something better than that? And Jesus said, as a matter of fact, I do. I have bread for heaven for you right now. And they said, what? Okay, where? And this is what Jesus said. And this is really the crux of what he said. He said this, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that he didn't come to fix all the issues and all the problems in our life. Rather, he came to give us something much deeper, much more powerful, and much more fulfilling than that. What he came to give us was something that would nourish and strengthen us, something that would revive us when we're weary, that would give us strength, and that ultimately would satisfy us like nothing else possibly could. He said that's what he means when he calls himself the bread of life. Think of it this way. If you're a homeowner, if you own an apartment or a condo or, you know, or a house, doesn't matter how new, how fancy it is, something breaks down, right? Everything always breaks down. Now imagine you said, Jesus, here's what I want. I want you to be the fix-it guy in my life. Every day in the morning, I'm going to get up, I'm going to text you what I want you to fix in my life. And when I come home at the end of the day, I want it fixed. Jesus would say to you, he would say, actually, that's not really who I am. Instead, he'd say, if you invite me into your home, if you invite me into your life, what I'm going to do for you is bring into your home a deep sense of peace. I'm going to bring into your home a deep sense of joy. In fact, if you invite me into your home, when you come home, there's going to be a sense of being renewed and refreshed and restored and strengthened. There'll be laughter in your home and there'll be joy in your life. That's what I promise for you. The question is this, do you want a home where everything is perfectly fixed but is empty and cold? Or do you want a home where some of the doors on the cupboards hang a little off and the deck needs to be painted, but it's filled with this peace and this love and this joy? Because that's what Jesus offers when he says that he is going to be the bread of life. And too often, people miss that. They're expecting much too little from Jesus rather than what he really offers them. And instead, Jesus offers something so much deeper. The problem with what Jesus offers is not the latest fad. It's not the coolest thing out there right now. It's not the thing that everybody is doing right now. But here's the thing about all that. That stuff comes and it goes. Next year there'll be a new fad and come and a go. And those are all good things. The problem with those things, though, is it always leaves you a little hungry afterwards. A little bit like, well, that was good, but not enough. Kind of like eating a bag of Doritos, right? Like, it was really good, but it wasn't a full meal. And what Jesus offers is something that nourishes and something that gives life. And maybe you've experienced this in your own life. I mean, you said, look, If I just get the education that I really need, I'll get the job that I really want, then I'll be good. And in fact, you got the education, you got the job, and it is good. But there's something like, there's something more. And so then you say, well, if I just marry Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, then I'll be good. And you find Mr. Right, and he's wonderful, or Mrs. Right, she's amazing. But there's something kind of missing. So then you say, well, look, if we just have babies, or if we just get a boat, or a cabin, or the right holidays, or whatever it is, then finally, I'll be good. And the fact of the matter is, all of those are good things, but they simply don't satisfy. Because ultimately, that satisfaction, that sense of like, I'm good, that comes from Jesus. So Jesus says to this group of people who ask him, he says, look, if you come to, you ask me for this bread of life, I will do this in your life. And you know what they said to him? They said, that's ridiculous. You're the bread from heaven? They said, we know your mom and your dad, Mary and Joseph by name. It's ridiculous that you would claim something like that. And again, people struggle, still say that. Like, gee, come on, Jesus, that's what he's going to do. And Jesus says to them, he says, look, no worries. He said, he actually says to him, he says, stop grumbling. And then he says, fact is the matter of the matter is no one can come to follow me unless God does a work in their heart. But then he says to them, but mostly you'll never give them a chance. You've already decided. He said, you know all those guys who walked through the wilderness and got bread every day, the fix it, fix it, fix it crowd? In the end, they all died. So, obviously, it didn't really work that well. You should try me. You should allow God to work in your life. And check it out. And if God isn't working, no troubles. But if he is, there is a richness and a depth that will come into your life that you don't have. And it'll fill it up. And it'll make it full. And it'll make it so rich. See, the problem that so many people have is their expectation is not too high, but way too low. And they miss out on a whole aspect of life that God, through Jesus, wants to add to them. Listen, if you're here and you don't have that, you can have that. I mean, God, through Jesus, says, I'll give you this sense of like, okay, I'm good. There's a fullness in my life. But if you want that, it's not just like sort of adding Jesus to your life. It's not like downloading an app on your phone. You know, the Jesus app. You download it, you put it in the corner, bread of life. And when you feel a little low, you open that thing up. That's not how it works. Jesus says, look, if you want this kind of peace in your life, this kind of fulfillment in your life, got to be the operating system. All the other apps have to work out of this understanding of who I am. But if you want it, you can have it today. And in fact, maybe you came here tonight like, yeah, we're going to the service and we're doing something else. And maybe God's talking to you right now and you're saying, look, yeah, you know, I want that. And if you want that, it's just a matter of saying, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. It's a matter of saying, Jesus, I've been walking my own way. I've been doing my own thing. I've been living independent of you. Bible calls that sin. Say, God, I repent. I want to follow Jesus. And because of Jesus' death on the cross, his resurrection, if you ask, he'll forgive you for those sins. He'll make you right. And then you say, God, I'm going to do what Jesus talked about here. I'm just going to put my belief in him. I'm just going to trust him. And if you want to do that, you just do that quietly in your heart when we pray in a minute. If you want, come see me afterwards. I'll chat with you a little bit. Talk to the person who brought you. But in fact, maybe you weren't expecting today to meet God, and God has come to meet you today and say, you should follow Jesus. He changed your life. On the other hand, maybe you hear you saying, yeah, okay, but I'm not so sure. That's fair. I mean, following Jesus is not, you know, not a little thing. It calls you to give your life to it. And the people in Jesus' day didn't immediately convinced. But here's my invitation to you. Don't just write them off. Don't just say, oh, all that religion stuff, I'm not interested in it. It's a little bit like my camping experience. You know, I had a tough time when I was young. I said, oh, I'll never camp again. Well, actually, if you camp with someone who knows how to camp, has the stuff that they need, and does it right, suddenly it becomes rich and beautiful. My invitation to you is give God a chance. Long enough to really find out, but give him an opportunity. If he doesn't do anything, hey, you tried. But you should come. You should find out. And there are different ways you can do that. I mean, you get a Bible, start reading one of the Gospels. come to church here on a Sunday morning. We have church here Sunday morning at 10 a.m. It's a big place. It's easy to slip in, slip out. No one will even know you're here if you don't want them to. Starting January 12th, we're going to look at Jesus, the life of Jesus and his stories and what it means to follow after Jesus. If you're curious, come. Check it out. Or if you've got questions, if you're like, okay, look, I got real questions about this. What about evolution? What about miracles? What about, how could Jesus be born of a virgin? What about? Those are fair questions. Those are great questions. And again, you're welcome to ask. But we also have a class starting in January called Alpha. And any question you want to ask is there. And it just walks through, this is what it means to follow Jesus. Without any pressure, just answering your questions. But here's the deal. The invitation is this. Find out. Allow God, if he's there, if he's working, to work in your life. Because if you find Jesus, man, he'll bring that fullness into your world like you wouldn't believe. Listen, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, whether you follow Jesus for years or you're not so sure about it, here's my Christmas wish for you. My wish, my prayer for you is that you'll have lots of expectations in your life. Good expectations, the kind of expectations that cause you to grow and stretch and learn, but that they won't be so high that you're just disappointed with everything in your life. But also my prayer for you is that your expectations won't be so very low that you miss out on vast portions of your life that you could experience through Jesus and in life in general. So that's my wish for you. That's my prayer for you. In fact, would you allow me to pray for you? Would you bow your heads? We'll pray, and then we're going to close our service by singing Silent Night together. Oh, God, we thank you for this Christmas season. God, we thank you for the opportunity to come here and to sing and to celebrate that you would send Jesus, your own son, into the world to live among us, come as a baby, and then to teach, and then to live and to die and to rise again, God, so that we could have life. Not just fix it, but a fullness of life, a depth of life, a richness of life, a satisfaction in this life that can only be found in you. And so, God, this Christmas season, we bless you for that. We thank you for that. And God, I pray for each person, wherever they are in exploring that, whether they've been following you since they were a child or whether they're not so sure. God, that you would meet them this Christmas. God, that you would show them who Jesus is and what he wants to do in their life. And God, that in the midst of it, we would experience a joy and a richness that only comes through you. So we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are, come on up, guys. We are going to end our service today by lighting candles. I have two very good helpers here who are going to get us started. The candle here in the middle, we've been lighting them all month long, represents Jesus. And the tradition of lighting candles at Christmas goes back to the fact that one time, not long after Jesus said he was the bread of life, he went to a festival. And at that festival, it's not unlike Christmas. They were lighting candles, and he stood up and he said this. He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And of course, we live in a world with lots of darkness, sometimes darkness in our own lives. And it's the light of Jesus in our life that sends away the darkness. And so as you light that candle, as we share that light, may you remember that Jesus is the light of the world this Christmas. And may he bring light into your life. And may you know the joy of Christ this Christmas.